This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Van der Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions! Milinkovic-Savic! With a belter! Oh, what a phenomenal strike!
Little push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside at the top of the net and dragged Roma right back into it.
Hello, welcome to the first ever Serbian Football Podcast. This is very exciting, our first show. Everybody has been asking for this for a while, to do a YouTube channel or a podcast, so here we are, filming our first ever episode, hopefully the first of many, and we are hoping that this will become a weekly occurrence here, and I'm sure it will. Today, my name is Miloš, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts. First, we have Ogi. Ogi, how are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Doing great. I'm looking forward to this. Like you said, first ever Serbian Footy podcast. We have a lot to cover. Can't wait to start.
Perfect. Happy to have you here. And also, we are joined by Luca from Washington, D.C. How are you doing, Luca?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Enjoying the beautiful weather and super excited to talk about some Serbian soccer, man.
That's right. Always a good talk. Yeah, so just to first go over a couple things. People have been asking me a lot of questions since it was announced that we'd be doing a show soon, doing a podcast soon. So I'll go over answering a couple of those first. The first question was if the show will be in Serbian or in English. As you probably tell, the show will be in English. We may have some Serbian episodes or segments based on who the guests are, but even those will be translated. So as of now, this will be an English show. So everybody around the world can enjoy it. And I know just from my Twitter alone, I know that I have so many Serbian football fans from Turkey, Arab countries, Asia, England. It's actually shocking how many people from totally different countries and cultures like our horrible football team. it's a great way to kind of keep everybody involved if we all speak a language that most of the world does understand on this podcast. And also there have been a lot of people asking me if they can also be on the show. And yeah, definitely would love to hear other people's opinions and other people's views and thoughts on certain issues and topics. The more differing opinions, the better. It creates great conversation. So if you have any questions or if you have any even show ideas or cool concepts, we'd love to hear them. You can tweet it at us anytime, and we'll happily talk about it and see if we can have it on a future show. So today, the first topic of our first ever show will be a topic that is near, dear, and let's face it, painful to everybody's heart. That is the Serbian national football team. So, Ogi, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts so far? Maybe since the Nations League ended and since we had those two games to start qualifying, with a friendly against Germany and the qualifier in Portugal. What are your thoughts so far about how the team is looking?
Yeah, so, I mean, mixed feelings, I guess, would be the best way to describe my current thoughts. So obviously, coming off somewhat of a disappointing World Cup, I think the Nations League, for the most part, was disappointing, too. Realistically, we should have won all those games. We had some tough results against Romania, but, I mean, we did finish first in the group. We had some young players come into the national team, so those were the positives. And I think since then, I mean, it's been encouraging. The result against Germany was good, albeit a friendly. You know, you don't get any points from that, but it was a good result. And then most recently against Portugal, you know, you go to Lisbon, that's the toughest game you're going to play in the whole group, against Portugal in Lisbon. And it wasn't pretty. It really wasn't. But we did manage to get out of there with a point. Some impressive performances from some players. The fact that we did get a result without Kolarov and without Matic, I think, was and without Kostic, too, was pretty important. So we'll take the point. You know, relatively speaking, our group does look pretty easy. Maybe easy isn't the right word, but compared to the other ones, I think it's manageable. And I don't really see any excuses for us not to finish in the top two. So as things stand now, coming off of a good result, some encouraging play from youngsters, I'm optimistic. Call me crazy, but I'm optimistic.
No, for sure. Getting a waypoint in Portugal is a really good result, especially since Ukraine also got a waypoint in Portugal. So we wouldn't want to fall behind to them, because realistically they are our number one competition for that second spot in the group. That gives you direct qualification to Euro 2020. Now, I do think that our group is okay, but it's also not easy. We have Luxembourg in our group, and they're definitely an emerging side. They almost made it through to the playoffs of Group D in the Nations League. So they're definitely somebody that's improving, and they'll give us some trouble for sure. Luca, on to you. What are your thoughts so far on how the team's been playing under Krstajic in recent times, and how things are shaping up for the upcoming qualifiers in June?
Yeah, man. Despite two or a couple of bad substitutions during the Switzerland game in the World Cup, I don't think we had a bad World Cup per se. Let's not forget that we did get royally screwed at the World Cup as well by one Felix Brick. So there's definitely that. If he would have called that penalty, we would have been through, no doubt in my mind. But then also, you know, the Krstajic factor there of a few bad substitutions. Now moving along to the Nations League. I'm with Ogi on this one, mixed feelings about it. I mean, obviously we finished first, but at the same time, we didn't play that well. And then we just had that friendly against Germany. I think we got completely dominated the second half. We had no answer for Leroy Sané. It looks like we have no answer for pacey players with a little bit of technique in general. So that's definitely a worrying sign. And then, you know, our first game against Portugal, it was similar to the one against Germany, man. I think we were slightly lucky to get out with a draw out of Lisbon. I think we got dominated that second half as well in Portugal. So how am I feeling about our national team under Krstajic? I gotta say, I'm always the eternal optimist for some freaking reason. I don't know why, when it comes to the Serbian national team. But I am also seeing the cracks, man, under Krstajic. Horrible man management. There's feuds left and right between Krstajic and the players. So I'm just hoping we're not setting ourselves up for a big fall come the Euros.
Right. No, I definitely hear what you're saying. I would say that under Krstajic, the team hasn't played horribly. I mean, we haven't really been, you know, horrible in any of the games that he's been in charge for. But also, you can't really say that we played amazing football in any of those games either. If you look at the last game versus Portugal, that was basically Dimitrovic saving us with an amazing goalkeeping goalkeeping performance. If it wasn't for him, we would have likely lost that game, and you know, there would be a lot more pressure on Krstajic right now. People calling for his head again if we would have lost that game and you know, been behind the eight ball to start the qualifiers. I think he's done okay, but also you know, he's made a lot of strange decisions, especially at the World Cup where he took out Milivojevic and put in Radonjić for I don't know even if he knows what reason. That was one of the most strangest nonsensical substitutions in the history of Serbian football, and there have been many. So I don't know what he was thinking that totally changed the game, and we basically gave the 3 points to Switzerland and cost ourselves a spot in the knockout stages of the World Cup. And yeah, that's a hard pill to swallow. Now, I think also, of course, the man management, his issues with players that continue to be ongoing. First, he was Nastasic, then it was Milivojevic who had issues with him at the World Cup. Now it's advanced to other players. It seems like Filip Kostic has a problem too. He barely played during the Nations League, and then he was all of a sudden injured during the last two matches. Meanwhile, the whole time he was in Kragujevac was chilling with Luka Milivojevic, and he played the next game for Eintracht. So unfortunately, it seems like we might have another problem on the national team. And then there's, of course, the Gruyt situation where he apparently refused to play for the under-21s, but the under-21s manager has come out and denied that. He said that Marco has always been available for the under-21s. So it just seems like another breakdown in communications between Krstajic and the players. Even Ivan Obradovic refused to call up because of Krstajic. So this guy seems to have a real issue of communicating with the players. And yeah, that's something that we have to work on if we're going to go anywhere, because let's face it, we're a small nation and we can't afford to have key players missing all the time. Ogie, what have you seen as the biggest issues under Mlenko Stajic so far?
I mean, well, like you mentioned, the main issue is these feuds and these absences. I mean, we're not a Brazil or a France where we have young new players emerging every year, and if we miss out on one, it's not a big deal. I mean, that's not the case. Matija Nastasic is one of our best center backs, been playing for Schalke for quite a few years. He has plenty of experience. Luka Milivojevic is a star. He's having the best year of his career for Crystal Palace. I mean, these are players that we need. You know, granted, we are deeper in some positions than in others, but these continued absences, and you mentioned Kostic, I mean, that's the last thing we can afford right now. So in regards to Kostic, these absences need to stop. He needs to let his ego down. If there have been issues in the past, I mean, it's really time to let them go. The player's responsibility is to the country, to the nation, to the flag, not to him or the federation per se. So set personal feuds aside. These are, like I said, these are important players that we need, that we require. If we are going to make the Euro 2020, after that, if we are going to qualify for major tournaments, we need these guys. And I mean, this also does seem, I don't know if I'd call it a golden generation, but we have a lot of young, talented, emerging players. And look, I don't know how much longer we're going to have Kolarov. I don't know how much longer we're going to have Matic, but you get the sense that this is the time. And we need the right coach. We need all the players at our disposal. And it's finally time, I think, for Serbia to make a splash. Because on paper, I think we have a top 20 squad in the world. Now it's just a matter of getting everybody on a team, getting the right formations, getting the right tactics, and we can talk about that later, and getting the right man for the job that will put us in an optimal situation to do that, because I think now's the time.
Yeah, for sure. And another guy we didn't mention who is part of this absence crew is Nikola Maksimovic, who's playing really well for Napoli in Serie A and in the Europa League. He turned down the call-up due to injury, but since then has played 90 minutes in every single game for Napoli. So, yeah, it seems like, I'm not sure what's going on, but all the players have said similar things. They've said that people from the FA have said things to them, and Kostajic hasn't told them things directly. So it seems like he's just not communicating properly with the players. And it's surprising because he was a high-level footballer, played in the Bundesliga for a long, long time, played for a national team for a long, long time. So he should know how players want to be treated and how they should be treated. And I'm not sure where the disconnect is. I'm not sure if he's ready for this role or if he knows what he's got himself into. So far, he's been very frustrating, to say the least.
And just add one more thing on that topic. Darko Kovacic, one of the main guys in the federation, recently also said, regardless of who the coach is, so if Kostajic leaves, there's no spot for Milivojevic, there's no spot for Nastasic. And I just think, I don't like that at all, man.
I mean, that's really nonsense.
Like I said, not even the coach, when you're getting those kinds of comments coming down from the federation, I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, without a doubt, man, without a doubt. And let me ask you guys a quick question here. Do you think at any point under Kristajic's reign has the team played at 75% capacity of what they can play?
That's a tough question. I think, you know, at times we have played well. If you look at Costa Rica at the World Cup, if you look at the friendlies before the World Cup, we had a really good game against Jamaica. And then in the Nations League, we did play decently. We should have won all of those games, but we had a lot of missed chances and a lot of frustrating moments versus Romania in particular. But those aren't really high quality teams, so it's hard to judge on that. And even against Germany, in that first half against Germany, we were the much better team. We should have been up 3-0.
Right, right.
If Jaj didn't miss that chance, and if Milenkovic didn't miss that chance as well. So I think we have played well under him in stretches, but it just has never been a full 90-minute performance, and we never had our best squad available either. It seems like every time there's somebody missing, there's an injury, there's an argument. And it's not just Kostajic, actually. Every manager that we had in recent times has had these issues. If you remember with Mihajlovic, he had the issue with Ljajic, he had the issue with Matic. And then if you go to Dick Advocaat, who was I don't know. He decided that it was a good idea to play Danko Lazovic as the striker, who was at that time, I believe, 47 years old. Maybe not 47, but he was very old and very washed up. And it was clear that Dick Advocaat did not know any of our players. It was clear that he didn't follow our football. He only started Lazovic because he remembers him from the Dutch league, because we also managed there. So yeah, and then under Turcic, he didn't call up Dusan Tadic because apparently Dusan Tadic didn't have the quality to play for the national team, even though he was clearly our best player at that time. So every time some kind of issue, some kind of problem, some kind of drama. I don't know. Are we just crazy as people? Do we have some kind of personalities issue as Serbs? I don't know. But it seems like there's a lot of egos, and there's always people having their feelings hurt. There's always these crazy conspiracies and scandals in our football, and right. It's very frustrating as a fan. And now, Luko, based on what you've seen in the last game, in the last couple of games, do you think Kstajic's formation and tactics has been okay, or would you like to see something different in the upcoming games in June?
I wouldn't mind trying to play with two strikers. I mean, I think we have two great strikers in Mitrovic and Luka Jovic, who complement each other. So I wouldn't mind trying them out together, see what happens. You know, obviously our fullbacks, with Rukavina and get in an older Kolarov, it's a worrying spot. So if we could somehow mitigate that, maybe go to a 3-5-2 or something, so we don't have to rely on those positions as much, that would be fantastic. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more experimentation, and I really feel like we probably should have done this experimentation in the Nations League, maybe. But we didn't. We played it safe, but we did get first place, dude. So I'm not complaining too much, but. I would like to see some new stuff that Kristajic tries out, even though it seems like every game his head is in the chopping block of whether he's leaving or not if he doesn't get a result.
Yeah, and what about you, Ogie? What are you seeing with the tactics? I know we'll always talk about the right back position and how weak we are there. God bless his soul. Tony Rukavina has been a good soldier for the national team. He's playing decently defensively, but we all know that feeling when it's, you know, when we have an attack down the right side and the ball goes out to Rukavina and he sends in a cross, then we know that 99.9% of the time that cross is going nowhere near Mitrovic's head. And it's like, you know, you just lose hope because, you know, like, why is he crossing it? We know this is going nowhere. You know, love the guy, love his effort, love his dedication to the national team, but clearly he's not on a level that's needed to be a serious national team and wanting to compete for, you know, those knockout stages.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, and I think the job of any manager of any team, whether it's club or international, is to look at the squad that you have and play on your strengths and try and mitigate and cover up your weaknesses. And I think with the current style of play and with the current formations, we're not doing that. I mean, I don't ever want to see another national team game with Antonio Rukavina and Miroslav Bogoslavac as your starting fullbacks. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. We got away with a point somehow in Germany, in Lisbon, but I don't ever want to see that again. And I think looking at the squad, yeah, a 3-5-2 sounds like a great idea with three center backs because we have some depth there. Nikola Milenkovic is a star. He's going to earn probably a big transfer this summer. You'll see him on a top club very soon. Miloš Veljković has had a great season at Werder. Those two, I think, complement each other well. And then even after that, Uroš Spajić has had a good season in Krasnodar. Vukašin Jovanović is young. He's on the U21s now, but he's had a good year for Bordeaux. So there's four, I think, center backs that I would much rather see in the lineup than I would Bogoslavac and Rukavina. And then, moreover, on that topic, what do you need for a 3-5-2? You need wingbacks. And the great news is that Kostic has been performing excellently in that role on the left-hand side this year for Eintracht. He's been a star. This has been, I think, the best year of his professional career. So you put him on your left wingback role. Sure, Kolarov is there, but at least you have some depth. And then on the right side, I mean, Darko Lazovic has been a revelation at Genoa this year. I remember him back when he played for Zvezda. He was a talented youngster. Then he kind of, you know, disappeared, and nobody really heard from him. And now he's come out of nowhere, had a really good season, and he kind of fits the mold of a right wing back perfectly. So I think you need to highlight your strengths, the 3-5-2. would help with that up front. It's a little trickier because I do agree that Jovic should play, but Mitrovic is there too. And then Tadic has basically been playing like a false nine for Ajax. So how to exactly incorporate those three together, if that's the ultimate goal, that would be a little bit difficult, but there is a little bit of, I think, room there for experimentation. But the biggest weakness are the fullbacks, and I think a 3-5-2 would definitely cover up some of those weaknesses.
Yeah, for sure. A fullback situation is not even close to being ideal. Collado doesn't have much time left. You know, he's having a pretty solid season for Roma again, but yeah, you know, he's up there in age, and I'm sure this is likely his last cycle. Definitely. And after him, the left backs, I mean, yeah, it's not pretty, and the right backs, it's even worse.
Yeah.
We're all praying for Milan Gajic to become a good right back, but, you know, so far it was Zvezda. He hasn't really been that impressive. He's been okay, but, I mean, when you're playing against teams like Mladost and Dinamo Vranje, you should be doing a lot better. I know he just got there. He didn't really have a full preparation with the team yet. So hopefully he'll be better once the European qualifiers start and once the next season of the Superliga starts. But yeah, so far, you know, he hasn't really lived up to his potential, and he hasn't really shown that he's capable of doing reaching the next level in his limited games with Zvezda so far. So a lot of questions and a lot of things we need to look at, especially in those positions. And furthermore, yeah, on the tactics, definitely we should find a way to incorporate Mitrovic and Jovic into the lineup. I know it's tough, but they do have kind of offsetting styles. One guy is, you know, a lot more powerful and good in the air, and the other guy is a lot quicker, right? So it could work. It just needs the right balance in the team. But under Krstajic, we don't really have that balance at all. I mean, he's playing Živković a lot on the wings, and now Lazovic has emerged, and he's doing well in that role, and hopefully he'll keep playing. But yeah, there seems to be a lot of changes. We have different lineups every game. There's guys missing every game. Not a lot of consistency right now. The only consistency that we're really having is with Mitrovic scoring every game and with Dimitrovic being in goal and playing really well. Other than that, it's been kind of tough to find that consistency and that familiarity with the team. And Maksimović as well, and as a midfielder, he's doing really well and he's playing every game. Other than that, it's always guys coming in and out of the team. And you know, it's a very confusing time, and I don't think the players quite know what's expected of them or where they should be, let alone us as fans,
right?
You know, based on what we can expect. Yeah, and so just going on to our next topic, we did touch on this briefly already, but Luca, tell me about what you've been seeing and liking from Dusan Tadic in the Champions League.
Man, it seems like he's become the player that us Serbs, us, you know, avid followers of the Serbian national team have always known that he was, right? And I'm just happy for him as a man, because you can tell Tadic is just a great human being, you know, bottom line, crying when we're reaching the World Cup, giving it his all for Serbia. He's like one player who has been one of the most consistent ones for us throughout the years, and I'm just extremely happy for him. And that Ajax side in the Champions League is just a lot of fun to watch with him playing that false nine role, like you said. And I'm really looking forward to his next match against the Spurs. Now, the only thing that is worrying me is his support up top. It seems like he can get a little bit isolated at times during the games with Zayek and Neres there, who seem to be more wasteful than helpful at times. But I'm hoping for big things, man. Wouldn't this be a jewel in his crown if he can get to the finals of the Champions League? That would be freaking awesome, and I definitely want to see that, man.
Yeah, for sure. Tadic has, you know, he's always been kind of like our little secret. You know, we've all known that he was a genius and that, you know, he's a player capable of great things.
No doubt.
Based on his play for the national team. And now the world is getting to see that. Now he's, you know, he's trending on Twitter all the time. Everybody's saying that he's amazing, that they're shocked that he was stuck at Southampton for so long. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy and to a prouder guy. And he's such a good person, as you guys mentioned. And it's really amazing to see what's happening with him. And hopefully Ajax can make it to the final and maybe even shock the world and win the Champions League, you know. And if they do win the Champions League, I mean, hey, Dusan Tadic, Ballon d'Or, best player in football, right? He has a chance to beat it, to achieve that. So yeah, hopefully we do see that. Now, turning to some other Serbs who are doing well in Europe, Ogi, what have you seen from the Eintracht Serbs, Jovic, Kacinovic, and Kostic this year?
I've seen a lot. And then, speaking of exciting, I mean, this team is beautiful to watch. And it's rare because, you know, you have three, like you said, three Serbian players, and all of them, for the most part, start every game. All of them are key players. And the fact that, you know, they get to play together, especially, you know, you look at somebody like Kostic, he has, I think, 10 assists this year, so he's third in the Bundesliga.
11,
yeah. Jovic, I think, is second in the Bundesliga in scoring, and I mean, I'm pretty confident that at least half of those goals have been assisted by Kostic. So it's really encouraging to see them all playing every week, playing for a successful team, sort of building up chemistry around one another. I've mentioned Kostic, and I think he's been the best Serbian player in Europe this year. He's been a star. Luka Jovic, what to say about him? Signed a new, I think, 3 or 4 year contract with Eintracht. That's awesome. I'd love to see him there for a few more years to continue to develop. He's a clinical striker. He reminds me of like a Filippo Inzaghi. He, you know, you get the ball in the box, regardless of what position he's in, he'll find a way to score. Kacinovic is kind of like your utility guy. He can play in the middle. He can play on the wings. A holding role, an attacking midfielder role, really versatile, really energetic. So watching Eintracht has been a joy this year, and they are, I believe, fourth right now in the Bundesliga. So if they could qualify for the Champions League next season, and they're in the semifinals of the Europa League too, so it's been an amazing year, and it's awesome to see our guys featuring for them and playing together. It's been great.
Yeah, for sure. So young guys like that, you know, those three will be the future of our national team for many years to come. And it's great seeing them play so well together and do so well as a unit. And Eintracht is a really fun team to watch. It's a really great story as well. They have a great fan base. And yeah, it's a joy to watch those games. And I'm really looking forward to their matchup now with Chelsea in the Europa League. I'm sure that's going to only intensify the rumors of Luka Jovic's transfer. I know Chelsea's been named as one of the clubs who are looking at him. So, you know, if he has a couple of big performances in those games, he could be on his way to Chelsea and to be another Serb to play for the Blues. Wouldn't be such a bad thing. I know a lot of people don't like Chelsea, but yeah, I mean, it's a historic club, right? So, also some other players who have been having some good seasons is Vukašin Jovanović. I know we mentioned him earlier, but he's really established himself in League One with Bordeaux. He's having amazing performances for them. He's quietly becoming one of the best young defenders in France currently. And I know he has never gotten a chance with the national team yet, but he is the captain of the under-21s. So I do expect him to slowly be integrated in to the national team. And we do have some up-and-coming young center-backs like Milankovic, we have Veljkovic, we have Spajic, we have Jovanović. And, you know, there's also Marković emerging from Partizan. So we always seem to produce those good defenders. Hopefully we just find a way to, you know, make our defense play well as a unit, which we have been failing to do for a very, very long time. You know, we seem to be struggling defensively for, you know, the better part of the last decade, ever since Vidic left after those horrible qualifiers for Euro 2012. We've kind of been struggling and kind of putting players in, taking players out, mixing and matching all the time. So hopefully in the future we can get some stability in the back line.
And speaking of stability, I mean, it's so encouraging and refreshing to finally have a competent goalie.
No doubt, man.
After Vladimir Stojković, whoever was after Ivica Sakran,
Jevrić.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's just been a revolving door and mistake after mistake. Marko Dmitrović, he's been excellent. Last year he was named Ibar's Player of the Year. He's been quite possibly one of the best goalies in La Liga. So to have him back there, you know, you finally feel like, okay, you could breathe a little bit easier on set pieces and not expect any dumb blunders. So it's nice to see him back there. Yeah, you mentioned Jovanović and Milenkovic. I think Nemanja Maksimović is another player who's been fabulous. He's playing for Getafe. Getafe is on the basically on the cusp of qualifying for the Champions League in La Liga. He's been one of their best players this year. Great technically, great at box-to-box midfielder, plenty of endurance on him. I think he has a really, really big future with the national team. And then another guy worth mentioning, too, is Sasha Lukic. He's been good for Torino, provides us some depth in the middle. So, in general, we have plenty of young players who are playing every week, who are getting minutes, who are playing on good teams. With that said, there are some guys who you'd love to see make a move this summer. Nemanja Matić in particular, he's kind of been demoted to the bottom of the depth chart in Man U under Solskjaer, so you want to see him get out of there. Mitrovic will be interesting because Fulham is going down. I would like to see him stay in the Premier League, but we'll see, obviously, you know, what the interest is going to be. You don't want to see him go down to the Championship again.
Well,
yeah, for sure. And fun fact about Dimitrovic on Twitter, Eibar fans refer to him as God. every time they tweet at me, they say, God stay with us today. So that tells you about how well he's playing in Spain. I mean, I think we do have a class goalkeeper finally. People like to, you know, hate on Stojkovic, and I agree he has had some very horrible moments for the national team, but he was, at the end of the day, you know, a capable, solid goalkeeper, but he wasn't that next-level goalkeeper.
Right.
And I think Dietrich is that goalkeeper who can actually win us games and get us points, right? So I was happy to have someone like that. Another guy I just wanted to quickly touch on is Marko Grujic, having a good season at Hertha. What have you seen from him, Luka, and you're excited for his development finally?
I am, man. He's a couple of years late, in my opinion, but I'm really, really glad to see him coming into his own, man. I mean, he's been scoring for Hertha. Every time they need somebody to step up, it seems like he's there for them. And I do want to see him integrated into the national team, man. And now the problem is, again, Krstajic and, you know, the whole all the shenanigans that are going on there with him and Grujic and stuff, but I do want to see him take even another step, man. I think he hasn't even, he's not even close to hitting his ceiling yet.
No, for sure, yeah. And he's been great in the Bundesliga for Hertha, as you mentioned, and hopefully he can stay there. I mean, I know Klopp seems to really like him, but at a team like Liverpool, they're always bringing in new players. There's always a lot of competition. I just don't think that he'll be given that opportunity and that time to fully develop as a player. So it's better for him to stay in a team like Hertha in a league like the Bundesliga and continue to grow, because this guy is a really, really good player. And he has all the tools. He's physically strong, technically gifted. He can score with his head. He's got a good shot as well. He has all the tools you need to be a complete midfielder. And I think he has the potential to be better than Matić even. So we need him to be playing. We can't have our players continue to throw their careers away at, you know, clubs where they sit on the bench. We've seen it happen before with Lazar Markovic, who is now at Fulham warming the bench, or actually warming the stands. He's not even on the bench anymore. So we can't have guys like that, you know, just disappearing off the face of the earth, because, as we mentioned before, we're a small nation. We have a small player pool, and you know, we need to nurture these talents, and we can't have them falling through the cracks, because we might not be producing great players forever.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And another guy we haven't mentioned is SMS. Arguably, you know, last year he was one of the best players in Serie A. This year he's taken a little bit of a step back. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him. Maybe he should have moved last season. That Lazio side, you know, have had their up and downs this year. I don't think he's necessarily been able to find the right comfort level for him. So for a player as highly touted and as skilled with the potential that he has, he's another one who I'd like to see sort of step away, maybe, you know, join a better team next year, maybe even switch countries so that he could reach his potential.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he had a really amazing season last year. He had a lot of world-class performances. I know I watched some of those Lazio games last season. I was literally amazed by the things he was doing with the ball. And I don't think that, you know, he can just lose that talent in a matter of a year. I think he still has that in him. It's just his role is a bit different now of Lazio, and the team isn't doing as well either. I think he definitely needs a change of scenery and a bit of change of pace. I think with a little bit of fire, he will go back to where he was last year and start putting in those performances again, because he's another player that we need. We need SMS. He's a threat. He's a danger every time on the field. at least he can be when he's put in the right spots and when he has that right confidence level and mindset. And yeah, a lot of our players, you know, it's the same thing. This year, they're getting a lot more playing time for their clubs. There aren't many guys who are you know, bench warmers currently. Maybe Radonjić for Marseille. He hasn't really done well there. But mm-hmm. I think it's a little too much too soon for him, right? He had basically 6 or 8 good months with Zvezda, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, mm-hmm. being bought for over 12 million by a big club like Marseille.
That's typical Zvezda stuff, right? As soon as a player has a good year, ship him out, cash in, get the money, we'll bring another guy up. It's just typical Superliga stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, he's not a bad player. He has that speed. That's always a difference. But, I mean, his end product, his decision-making is just not there at this level. And I think he can become a good player, but at a big club like Marseille, who's competing to try to compete for a title, trying to compete for Europe, it's tough for them to be patient with him because they need results every week. So it would be better for him to definitely leave as well and to try to maybe find his footing at a smaller club, maybe mid-table or maybe like bottom table. Mid-table, even Belgium wouldn't be a bad destination for him because he just needs to get those reps in. And you know, we talked about Jovic earlier and his amazing season. Luka, what do you think? Is it too early for him to leave Eintracht, or is it the right time to leave right now?
No, I think it's too early, man. Like, I'm glad that he signed that extension with Frankfurt. Let's not forget that at Benfica he really wasn't getting playing time. He wasn't really scoring goals, and then it's only been, you know, maybe like a full season now that he's been at Eintracht getting those minutes and showing what he can do, man. So I think like another year would be perfect for him to really come into his own, to solidify his strengths, to find out what his weaknesses are, because inevitably as a striker, you know, obviously not everybody's the same, so you will have weaknesses. So if he can find those things out in this next year with Eintracht and then make a move to a big club, that would be ideal. And there's no doubt in my mind if he continues like this that he will be at a major, major club. You know, I'm talking about the levels of Real Madrid or Barcelona or somebody like that. So I'm really excited to see what he can do in the future, man. And it's so damn refreshing to have some striking options up there and for the national team.
Yeah, oh, you know, you don't miss the days of Dan Lake, Philip Jones as a number 9. People forget that was only a short while ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Right.
We only had Dejan Lekić and a kid, Juricic, who was not a striker, but being forced to play as a striker for the national team. So when you look at what's happened since then with the emergence of Mitrovic, Jovic, Prijevic is a very good player as well. You know, we're very blessed right now. We can't take it for granted because our striker situation has been cold, basically, for, you know, 20-something years. I know Žigić was okay, Pantić was okay, but other than that, you know, we were kind of hit a snag. And international football, a striker can make the difference between a win and a loss every time.
And I'm going to throw one more name in there, too. Dejan Jovic is a youngster, 18, 19 years old for Crvena Zvezda. Coincidentally, I think he's also from Vienna, like Luka Jovic is, and there's a lot of similarities between them. He started to get more playing time for Zvezda this year, and there's been rumors about some Bundesliga teams scouting him, like Mainz and like Stuttgart. So don't be surprised if in a couple of years, you know, he's the next big thing at striker. It's like Luka said, it's refreshing because we, you know, usually it's like center backs and then holding midfielders, but
right.
to have so many quality strikers coming out on the pipeline, it's encouraging.
Yeah, we finally have an attack, man. It's good times to be a national team supporter. Now, if we can just get a solid coach, aka bring back Antic, everything will be good, man.
Jokanović is out there too, man.
Yeah, that's true. Me neither, man. I love me some nice attack in football, especially with this squad that we have here, man. I think we could definitely do some damage.
No, for sure. We have the players. We can't afford to waste another generation. You know, people in Serbia take for granted that we continue to produce highly talented footballers. But we really shouldn't. If you look at nations around us, if you look at Bulgaria, if you look at Romania, if you look at Hungary, those countries used to produce better players than us. And now they don't produce anything.
Right.
They produce barely any great players, right? So, well, who's to say that that won't be us in the future? I know that we as Serbs like to think that, you know, we're one of the pound-for-pound best sporting nations in the world, and we have amazing athletes, and we do. But, you know, there's nothing there's nothing preventing us from having a talent drain as well, especially with the emergence of other sports in the country. If you look at the popularity of tennis, the popularity of basketball, the popularity of athletics in Serbia, it's really growing. And I think those sports, you know, they could take away a lot of talents from the football pitch. So, you know, this generation that we have right now, these amazing players, we need to have all the possible best things in place to make sure that we have a good run as a national team, because we have talent to do it. We have a talent. We have the talent to you know, be top eight in a major tournament, top 16 in a major tournament. There's no reason why we can't do that. We just have to do everything that we can, stop the drama, stop the corruption, stop all the nonsense, and just focus on that one goal, because this talent might not be here forever.
And I think, yeah, on that topic, I think Croatia this past year at the World Cup really kind of, you know, set an example that a small nation who has had a history of corruption, who has had all sorts of problems, I mean, if you know, they finally figure it out, if they bring the right man in, it can be done. And speaking of Croatia, I mean, you look at that squad, their golden generation seems to be getting older, like guys like Modric and
Mandžukić.
They're getting older, and now is, I think, the time for, you know, a team like us to sort of step up. We have youngsters that are entering their prime. Regardless, yeah, we're a small nation. Yeah, we've had a bad history, but, you know, with the right people in place and with this generation, it's not crazy to think that we could make the quarterfinals or the semifinals of a major tournament.
No, man, it's definitely not crazy, dude. With the squad we have, with the talent we have, everything is in place besides the damn system and the coach, right? I mean, and the system comes from the coach, so obviously a few holes to plug in, but with the talent that we have, everybody should be optimistic about the situation, because, you know, anything can pop up at any moment.
And I have some Canadian friends, I mean, who obviously don't follow football as much as I do, but they, you know, they look at our squad and they say, holy smokes, you guys have Dušan Tadić.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, you guys have Luka Jovic. You guys have Matic. You guys have Nikola Milenkovic. Like, these are some of the most highly touted youngsters in Europe.
Right.
You know, and for an outsider looking at this, I didn't even mention Milinkovic-Savic, but for an outsider looking at this team, it's hard to fathom how we're not more successful.
Agreed, man.
No, for sure. For sure, yeah. It's definitely, it's, you know, it's always exciting to see our players doing well, but it would be even more exciting if we could see our national team doing well. You know, that would mean everything to everyone, right? Because we all want to see our people and our nation and those bright lights, you know, being praised by the world and in the number one sport in the world. So it's definitely, you know, exciting times, but also worrying times with the situation and the country and the things that we see going on around the national team. Perfect. So thank you guys for joining us on our first ever show. I'm happy that Luka and Ogi were able to join me and that they didn't pull a Ljubo face on me and cancel last minute due to injury or whatever reason. So perfect. And I think that was the first good show. It was the first show, and we look to forward to having one every week. And if you have any suggestions or questions that you want to ask us, or topics that you want to discuss on future shows, feel free to tweet at us at SerbiaFooty.com, SerbiaFooty at Twitter.com. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
All right. See you guys.
Van de Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions. Milinkovic, Savic! With a belter! Oh, what a phenomenal strike!
Little push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside at the top of the net and dragged Roma right back into it.